Hey guys, it's Medina, and I wanted to let you know that we're taking the week off. We're preparing for our live show in New York City, which if you can't make it, don't worry about it. We're going to post it here as an episode real soon. Also, wanted to direct your attention to the No Jumper podcast, where the guys and I recently sat down with host Adam22 and had a real cool discussion and got into some interesting debates and, definitely worth checking out, the No Jumper podcast. All right, so while we're off, we pulled this classic ep out of the Great Debates vaults, and we will see you real soon when we get back from New York.
Hey guys, it's the Great Debates.
Oh, yes, hell yes, yes.
It's time for the Great Debates.
Yeah. What was that?
Me being psyched.
Yeah, no, Healy's psyched. I'm psyched too.
We're all psyched. Should we dive right into it?
Yeah. Okay, I got something for you. I got a micro debate.
Please.
Do you want to try it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a timer set up?
Yeah.
Is everybody ready
to
go?
The time.
Okay. Steve, I think, why don't you try the pro on this? Topic up for micro debate. Dirty dishes go in the sink. Huh.
Listen, that's where dirty dishes, they're going to be processed by washing. Put them in the sink. Take them over to the sink. Don't leave them on the coffee table. Don't leave them on the table. Bring them over to the sink. Give them a little rinse. Put them in the dishwasher or just leave them in the sink. But that is where they go. Don't incite ant incidents, drain fly problems. Bring your dirty dishes to the sink so they're ready to be washed.
Healy, I don't understand. You just contradicted yourself. You said put them in the sink or put them in the dishwasher. Dirty dishes go in the dishwasher.
A lot of people that listen to the Great Debates do not have dishwashers.
If you don't have a dishwasher, there's only one thing to do with a dirty dish. It is to immediately process it. You either put it, that means
you're having a dinner party. You don't want to immediately process 8 or 12 dishes. You just bring them to the sink, leave them there.
You can't
say
do
goodbye
that
to your guests.
Now, hold on. If you're having
have sexy times with the
dinner
special
party
guests,
is a what?
Yeah.
Dinner party is a slightly
continue
unusual
the flirtation.
But even in a dinner party, the host or someone should take the dishes and immediately just either A, rinse them and put them in the dishwasher, which most people have a dishwasher. You don't have to run the dishwasher. You don't have to totally clean them at that point. Or B, if you don't have a dishwasher, you should clean them at the time. Why separate things into steps? You're only making more time for yourself.
No.
Put the dirty dishes into the sink and then wash them later, you're wasting so much of your time.
No. Strongly disagree, because the more efficient way is to fill the sink with one thing of soapy water and then wash all the dishes, not to do them one at a time.
You don't fill your sink. Don't look me in the eye and tell me you've ever filled your sink with soapy water.
I'll look you
to
in the
wash
eye and tell
your
you
dishes.
That's the method I was learned on, and it's not my all the time method.
That's because
but it's a frequent
that's
method.
A method that predates dishwashers.
Well, what do you do?
I put my dishes in the dishwasher.
Okay, listen. We have to imagine scenarios. Not everybody has a dishwasher.
I understand that, but for the exact reason you said earlier, which is that you don't want to attract ants and other.
What if your dishwasher is full of a clean wash that you haven't taken out? Or do you insist as soon as the dishwasher is done, you got to clean it up?
No.
God, your rule of living by the law of the dishwasher is horrible.
If your dishwasher,
the prison you're in.
If, God forbid, your dishwasher is full of clean dishes, then what you. And you can't unload the dishwasher for some reason at that moment, and you have dirty dishes, then what you do is you clean the dishes in your sink immediately so that there isn't food and detritus that's going to sit in your sink and attract ants. If you have any kind of standing water and food combination,
listen,
you're attracting bacteria
no. It's
and
a
animals.
Very, very
it's
bald
awful.
Ant that assaults the kitchen. The sink
Are you
is,
kidding
the,
me?
Sorry, the sink. The sink is like the last place that ants get
you know
to.
That, okay, but there's other.
It's basically fortress.
You yourself brought this up that you don't want you don't want ants or flies, whatever it is.
You don't want them over by the coffee table.
Ants.
Whatever. The kitchen sink is a place to manage and deal with cleanliness. The problem is solved once you've got your dirty dishes in the sink. Put them in the sink. That's where the battle will be fought.
It's not
it doesn't have to be fought
your
today.
Your problems are just beginning. If you're accumulating, if what your plan is to accumulate as many dirty dishes as possible in a sink until you're going to fill it up with water. Oh, that could.
That actually, this topic threw me because.
Healy's taking his jacket off as we speak. He's
I actually don't think up. You should put your dirty dishes in the sink.
Where do you think you should put them?
I think, like, when they're in the sink is not available for as a washing basin.
Yeah.
You should put them next to the sink.
They have to go next to the sink.
Next to the sink. Yeah. That's even worse for ants. Well, put them in the dishwasher.
Look, ants are a pretty manageable problem.
I think so, too. You're not going to spray outside one time and you've defeated the ants.
Yeah. You know, not all of our listeners have a lot of room next to the sink to just keep dirty dishes.
Well, you know.
Is that why all your dishes get processed right away?
Well, I mean, first of all, not all of them do, but in a perfect world, the system is once you're done using a dish, put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here?
What if you forgot to unload the dishwasher and you got a few?
That's a problem, Dave.
Or it's running, or you're sleepy, or whatever.
I'm going to say 6 times out of 10 I open the dishwasher, there's clean dishes in there.
That's
now suddenly your one job has become two.
Something is wrong.
It's two chores. I do every now and then... And by every now and then, I mean once or twice a year, put soapy water in the sink.
It's nice. It's kind of satisfying, right? Yeah.
Luxurious way to do it.
Never once done
it. It's like the spa for your dishes.
It feels like you're doing what your parents did, and that makes you feel like a real adult.
Yes, yes. Do dishes prefer a sink wash or a dishwasher wash?
Is that a real question?
So it's time for host chat. A minute ago, we were talking about Miley Cyrus, and you challenged me to
do impressions of Miley Cyrus.
Okay,
you said, who do you think does better impression?
And you said you. Oh, no, you said, let's find out.
Let's find out.
Okay, go ahead. Fire.
Okay. Okay, I got to think about this for a second. See, I'm going to try to avoid the Vanessa Bayer style Miley impression.
Why?
That's a good impression. Because it's a great impression, but to me, I feel like then you're just doing an impression of Vanessa Bayer's impression.
Okay. So really going for you.
So I'm going to try to do the Miley at the VMAs.
Okay.
Right,
yeah.
I'm trying to remember exactly what you said. Okay, hold
on.
If
you want, we can come up with a scenario that Miley's in that's not the VMAs that we both have to do.
No. It's okay. Fine. Nikki, we've all done interviews, and we all know how words get misconstrued, and congratulations, you won your award.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Okay.
That was, I'm paraphrasing what she said.
Yeah.
But you get the gist of it. Yeah. All right, Healy, go ahead.
Hi, Nikki. We all know in this media, people manipulate, and they spread rumors, and I apologize, but congratulations to you for your award.
Oof. The accent is really kind of there, huh?
Who is better?
It is?
I don't know. I got the sort of teenager sense better from Dave.
Yeah.
I got the sort of hick sense better from you.
Interesting.
Is she a hick?
Well, I think there's a bit of that, sort of Nashville. She's no more hick than a Broadway star is a WASP aristocrat. That influences the style of dialect and whatever it is they're performing, right?
Yeah. Dolly World.
What else is going on host chat today?
Hey, so is this interesting, guys? I was thinking about this the other day. There's school, right? We all go through school.
Okay, so far it's not interesting.
And a lot of school is fascist and brutal and... There's bells ringing, you gotta go to and fro. But there's only one part of school that has a German name.
Kindergarten.
Yeah.
The softest, most gentle, happiest part of school.
I overheard a conversation where a woman was talking about their new kindergarten and how the other parents were there and they were asking the teacher about the curriculum. And
oh my God.
So we have a song about spiders we have to get to. And on a sunny day, we all have to draw rainbows.
These are our peers that have these children that are in kindergarten that need a good curriculum.
The next whack of children is going to be nuts.
It's no good.
Your point is that Germans are not known for they're more known for rigidity.
The softest, gentlest part of school. That's the one
grade of school.
Grade of school that we have. The word for it, we insist on using the original German.
Which was once, for a brief time, a fascist state.
Yeah. And it's a harsh language, let's suggest.
I'm going to be fully honest and say that I don't think that that's interesting.
Okay, Not interesting. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, one more. Is this interesting?
Ahead. Sure.
I was reading a book about some people in the Amazon, and they don't distinguish between the colors blue and green.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, okay. I think
that is interesting. I read somewhere recently that indigo isn't really actually a distinct color of the spectrum or something?
Well, I was reading, you got this from the same place where, like, Dr. Oliver Sacks, mm-hmm. the late mm-hmm. Dr. Oliver Sacks was saying that...
He gone.
He decided to take some LSD because he was like, I really want to see the color indigo. Uh-huh. So he warmed himself up and he made a little, you know, he got some cannabis for slow down. He really had a program of how many milligrams he's going to take, and he took some LSD and he stared at the wall and tried to see himself some indigo. Whether he got there, I don't remember.
Okay.
That one's less interesting.
That was less interesting. Just the idea that, blue and green, they don't distinguish.
Well, should we get to our main event?
I think it's about time.
That sounds like a fine idea. this is an interesting one.
Okay.
I'm ready to pronounce this interesting. Healy, why don't you take the pro as per usual?
Okay.
Dave, are you ready?
We should, you know what? Maybe we need to, like, shorthand, like, use rules apply.
Use rules apply.
We'll be debating as per the usual. I don't know, something, some our clever use of the word usual. We'll work on it. We'll take it back to
if you're new to the show, I'm Steve Healy. I take the pro, the life-affirming side.
But you usually don't say that until we begin the debate, so I want you to actually announce as per usual. The topic, gentlemen, up for debate today in our main event. There are fewer than 90 gay dentists in Nebraska.
There are fewer than 90 gay dentists in Nebraska is the topic. And I'd say, I'm going to guess there's about 60 to 70 gay dentists in Nebraska. Nebraska has a population of less than 2 million people. It's got one big city, Omaha, and then it is prairie and dust and distance. Now, Lincoln, Nebraska has some people when they come in the football games. I think the football stadium becomes like the first or second biggest city in Nebraska, so there's something going on there. And they got the Strategic Air Command out there, but I don't think there's any gay dentists in that part of the world. Listen, I've been to Nebraska. If you are in Nebraska and you are gay, you are getting the hell out of there, especially if you have the skill to become a dentist. You're going to Denver, you're going to Chicago, you're going to Kansas City. Hell, you're moving to Florida. Why not? You've got the skill to be a dentist. Get out of Nebraska. You don't want to spend your gay life in the middle of a cornfield taking care of farmers' teeth. You're gone. Now, there's probably, I don't know how many dentists per people there are. My guess is going to be there's one dentist per every 15,000 people. So I think that there's probably about, doing the math, there's probably about 60 total gay dentists in Nebraska.
Healy, you and I grew up in a town of 30,000 people.
Yeah.
You think there were two dentists in that town?
I knew of two.
Yeah, so do you want to think, maybe, do you want to revise your numbers?
No,
maybe
a little bit higher? There? Do you know?
Yeah. I mean, I knew of it. I knew of two.
Yeah, as we both knew of two, so there were two.
But there was more than that. I mean,
are you sure? How do you know that?
There was a whole clinic. There was a whole dentistry office in the town we grew up in.
Yeah, but it was pretty much one guy's shop, right?
No, it was. Well, there were dentists and. Are we including orthodontists?
I think this, no.
Okay, let's go back to some numbers here. First of all, you said that there's less than 2 million people in Nebraska. Is that a fact? Did you look that up?
Yes.
Okay. I think that was backhanded of you, and we agreed not to
look
up.
This is the kind of shit you do all the time, so I feel okay with it.
Okay. One piece of evidence that I'd like to enter is that we talked about this before. I was in Colorado, and there was a magazine cover, and there was a story that caught my eye.
What was the magazine?
I forget what it was called.
It was Denver Magazine.
It was Denver Magazine. And one of their cover stories was the top 562 dentists in Denver.
Okay.
So that tells us a couple things.
Wait, how many? The top 562?
Yeah, I remember the number because it was so specific and absurd that a magazine would publish a list of 562.
Who was 563? Anything. Who didn't make the cut?
Exactly, right?
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to guess that Metro Denver, like Denver, including the suburbs and all that stuff, has more people than Nebraska.
Oh, I don't think so.
And probably more of a gay scene than anywhere in Nebraska.
I think what you're forgetting is like how not big a deal it is for anyone. I shouldn't say not big a deal, but that for gay people under the age of, let's say, 40, I don't know that there's the same pressure that there used to be to get out of the state that you live or to get out of Nebraska.
I mean, I don't mean to malign the people of Nebraska. I don't think they're mean-spirited.
You've done a very good job of it so far.
No, I haven't. I just think you're a gay guy in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Your odds of meeting another gay guy are very small. If you want to find love, you're going to go to another place.
Maybe the thing you're looking for isn't love, but purpose. And maybe you're an excellent dentist and you want to fix the teeth of the greater Lincoln area.
I think that accounts for the 50 to 60 gay dentists that are there. I think there are a lot of good-hearted gay dentists in various farming communities who are like, I want to stay here and serve these people that I grew up amongst and take care of them dental-wise. And I will...
Dental-wise?
It'll be harder for me to find love, but I'll get really into, you know, my hobbies and stuff, and I'll just be known as, like, the bachelor dentist, and it'll be fine. And that'll be my life. And God bless them, that seems like a devoted life of purpose. But I don't think there's more than 60 people in Nebraska that are living that life.
I think that... I think that you were forgetting... First of all, okay, here's one thing. College towns...
Okay, Lincoln. There's basically one college town.
There's colleges in Omaha as well, right? There's got to be.
I don't think anyone would call Omaha a college town.
It certainly is during the College World Series.
Yeah, I agree. The number spikes during College World Series. Yep.
Okay, so if you're there's got to be gay dentists.
There's a couple gay dentists who go to the College World Series.
Yeah. So maybe. Maybe there aren't always more than 80 gay dentists in Nebraska.
But you said 9. First of all, we're saying 90.
What did we say? Did we say
90? More than 90.
Can we go back to the resolved? There are fewer than 90 gay dentists in Nebraska. Okay, I think there's 100 gay dentists in Nebraska at all times.
Don't be crazy.
There absolutely are. There's what is it? There can't be that much fewer than 2 million people, right? It's like 1.8 million or something people in Nebraska.
That's almost exactly right.
Okay, great. So there's 1.8 million people in those. So roughly we're talking about, by some estimates, 5 to 10% of the population is gay or would either identify as gay, or we have to keep in mind that there are a fair number of dentists in Nebraska who would not say that they're gay, but are, by our definition,
Well, wait a gay. Second. Are we counting them?
If we ask
this dentist, are you gay? And he said no.
I think
Can we count him as a gay dentist?
Yes. If he masturbates to gay pornography, then yes, he's a gay dentist. That's what I would say.
That makes you gay.
Yes.
Well, I'm not gay.
I think absolutely closeted homosexual dentists should count as gay dentists.
Well, I'm actually kind of interested now in going down the question of if you've ever masturbated to gay pornography, that makes you gay. How many times, percentages?
I think we all believe in some manner of like spectrum of sexuality, but I think that one of the easiest ways to define, to the extent that we need to define people's sexualities, which I'm not sure that we do at all, but if you use now in this day and age when pornography is so readily accessible, if you're usually using a certain kind of pornography to achieve climax, then I think that there's an excellent chance that you are of that persuasion. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm not sure I'm going to grant that. I think you get to decide whether you're gay or not.
Okay, well, what if a guy says he's not gay, but at late at night, all he does is, like, he, like, goes to church and tries to, like, pray the gay away, and he, like, every night he prays to God that he, like, wishes, he's like, I wish I weren't gay. Of course I'm not going to tell people that I'm gay, but, oh, my God, I hate being gay, and I wish I weren't gay. Hmm. But if you ask him if he's gay, of course he's...
How many dentists in Nebraska do you think are in that zone?
I think there's at least... 20, 25 dentists.
20 like, just in that zone.
How could there not be?
Plus 60 that are openly gay.
Yeah.
That brings us to 80.
I think 65. I think there's 65 openly gay.
And then there's 10
dentists
that are just like, hi.
Yeah, then there's 10 that are like, you know, yes. Well, also, you know, something we haven't talked about is kids in dental school. And I think there are kids who are, like, there's kids who are going to the University of Nebraska Dental School who are gay. And that's, like, there's got to be a bunch of them. There's probably 90 gay kids at the university.
You're not a dentist until you have that degree.
Okay, but they could be, I don't know exactly how the
residents
path of
dentists, or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely. And you're nodding right now, Healy. You realize we forgot about this.
I think that bought you, like, eight at most. I mean, how many gay dental residents do you think there are in Nebraska?
More than
five?
Look, eight may not sound like a lot, but that's about 12% of the numbers that I need here.
I think it's time for closing arguments.
All right.
I think I thrashed Dave pretty badly. Almost everybody in Nebraska, more than half the people probably live in Greater Omaha. There might be a couple of gay dentists there. Then you have the western half of the state's farm, country, rural country. I bet there are very, very few. Frankly, I bet they're underserved dentally, period, let alone by gay dentists.
Wow, appreciate your concern.
They'd probably appreciate the arrival of a gay dentist. But I think, really, if you're doing the math, you're going to come up with about 60 gay dentists in Nebraska. By the way, listeners, would love to hear from you if you are in Nebraska, if you have a gay dentist, if you are a gay dentist, if you're curious about your dentist, please write us in or tweet us or let us know. Anyway, I'm going to say that I think it's pretty clear there are no more than 60 gay dentists in Nebraska.
There's more than 90 gay dentists in Nebraska. The definition of gay is broader than it's ever been. It includes people who are not just 100% gay,
in your
world,
but
also
it's jerking off to gay pornography.
Closing arguments.
Well, I think that I'm not saying that that's the only definition of being gay, but I think that I use that as some sort of litmus test to determine a person's sexuality. Is it 100% accurate? No. But do I think that it's a reasonable way to assess whether a person's gay or not? Yes, in most cases, I think it is. I think that you're ignoring the sheer numbers of young people in Nebraska. I think that you're ignoring, I think you're overestimating the extent to which gay people feel the need to flee Nebraska. I think you're underestimating the fortitude of gay men and women, and especially of gay dentists, because I feel like they're perfectly well equipped to handle the societal pressures. I feel like they're more than capable of finding gay lovers in and around the Omaha, Lincoln areas. You know, they don't have to fall in love with another gay dentist. All they need to do is find love with a person of the same gender. There has to be more. There has to be thousands of people who exist somewhere on a homosexual spectrum within these metropolitan areas in Nebraska. So I don't think that there's this great diaspora of dentists, of gay dentists who have left Nebraska, or diaspora. I don't know how to say the word, but I think you know what I'm talking about. And that's the end of my closing statement.
Medina, what did you think?
I learned while you were conducting this debate that there are 142,000 dentists in the United States.
Is that right?
Really?
Yes.
That's it?
Which, if you do some more math, there's about 4% of the American population that is LGBT,
uh-huh.
TA or whatever.
Uh-huh. LGBT. I don't think it's LGTA.
LGBT. Thank you.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. I say whatever in a very callous and cavalier way. But anyway, that gets us pretty close to about 100 when we divide by 50 states in Nebraska. All of which to say is this is a pretty, I think, a well-crafted topic.
A decent estimate. But that's interesting.
But that assumes
the over-under. There is some over-under.
Okay, so assuming equal distribution.
Nebraska's below average population-wise, we're saying.
Did you just eyeball this number? Because, Dave, what? You came up with this topic, and I want to praise you for nailing it.
That's my point. It's pretty impressive.
I think I said 80.
Here's the thing. I think tactics-wise, I think you threw something away in this debate, which is you should have steered the conversation and summed up in the mind of the listener the lesbian dentist. I think the images you were evoking were mainly of gay men.
I think that's entirely in your head. The whole time I was picturing gay men and gay women.
Well, kudos to you, but I think the images you were evoking were of gay men.
How?
Jerking off to pornography.
Oh, I don't think that's exclusive to men.
I think the term jerking off is a male term.
I thought a lot of lesbians watched gay pornography.
Yeah. Ooh. Have you seen The Kids Are All Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I will say that the term gay for some people does usually bring men to mind as opposed to men and women. Right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to guess that 30% of the people in Nebraska go out of state for their dental work.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Is that because they live right by
tons of
South
people in
Dakota,
Omaha? They're right on the Iowa border. They're either they're going to
and
or they're
Iowa
driving to
is renowned for its dental care.
Well, you know, they're gonna.
It's a matter of convenience.
Yeah.
This is one of the most absurd claims I've ever heard. It's more convenient to go to Iowa to get a crown.
If you're in far western Nebraska, I'm going to guess that it's probably easier to go to somewhere in like Colorado or something to get your dental work.
What is that based on?
Just a picture.
What's going
picture
on in
of the
eastern
of Nebraska,
Colorado
or Kansas
so
City
much,
or wherever?
Is there a bigger city if you're
30%?
Yeah.
You're claiming that 600,000 people in Nebraska go outside of Nebraska for their dental care?
30% is high.
You don't even have any like data on how good the dental plans are in Nebraska versus its neighboring states. You just said this to rile me up, bud, and it worked. I'll give you that.
I was in Arizona a few months ago and visiting some friends. One of them the next day headed to Mexico for dental
work. Well, I mean, sure. That's, you know, there's reasons to go to Mexico. There aren't reasons to go to Iowa.
There might be.
I haven't heard any.
Okay, with that, I'll bid you all adieu. Good night.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.